Scripture reading this morning is from Numbers 16, 1 through 3. Korah, son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and certain Reubenites, Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab and On, son of Peleth, became insolent and rose up against Moses. With them were 250 Israelite men, well-known community leaders, who had been appointed members of the council. They came as a group to oppose Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You have gone too far. The whole community is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is with them. Why then do you set yourselves above the Lord's assembly?"
Good morning. It's a pleasure to see everybody. It's a wonderful day. I appreciate the scripture reading. I do feel a little guilty when I give a scripture reading that has some names in it that aren't always that easy. So I appreciate that. I did think of that when I was doing it. But if you start in verse 2, it says, and they rose up before Moses. You don't really know who they're talking about. There wasn't a whole lot I could do about it. But I appreciate the reading. It's wonderful to be with you. And I will kind of tell you before we get started that it's, the plan is that it's going to be kind of a two-part lesson on Korah. So we'll do kind of the first part this morning and finish it this evening. I think I have a pretty okay place to kind of make that break. It should be at a good time. I don't want anybody to be worried if they're looking at the time and you're thinking, boy, he's got a lot to get through here. How long is this going to take? We're going to stop at a point and kind of finish it later on this evening. So this is about the rebellion of Korah, and I remember years ago. And this is stuck with me. I mean, I still remember it. There was an NBA reporter, and something was going on in the NBA, and there was this kind of controversial thing that was happening, and this NBA reporter was talking about it, and he said, "I believe that this is in rebellion against God," and I still remember it. It still kind of sticks with me because. That phrasing of it being a rebellion, I hadn't really thought about it that way. Sin in general. And, I grew up in the church, so I'm guessing I heard that phrasing before and knew that. Maybe I just wasn't paying enough attention or hadn't made that connection until, later in life, but and maybe it was sort of because I was raised in the church that I didn't think of it in maybe the way that I should. My thought about sin was, it's something you do on accident. It's something that you just do out of weakness. That it's, it's not an active rebellion against God. That wasn't the way that I looked at it. But of course, every time that we sin, in a way, we are rebelling against God. We're taking His commands and either purposely or by ignorance, perhaps by willful ignorance, we are going against what He has commanded us to do as our Creator. And so here we have a rebellion that takes place in the Old Testament. And I wanted to look at this and maybe make some applications for us today as Christians under the new law, and to kind of think about the act of rebellion and what we see here and we will read, rebelling against God's anointed is rebelling against God Himself. So I wanted to begin by looking at Korah and his followers and kind of focus on their arrogance and the way that they were looking at status. As was read for us, in the first three verses, Korah took some 250 chiefs of the congregation. They were chosen from the assembly. They were well-known men. Then in verse 3, brought themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said to them, "You have gone too far. For all in the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" I think here we see a kind of a pull for notoriety, a compulsion to kind of be recognized and glorified, and getting recognition and you know, being put in a place of prominence can puff someone up. In Proverbs chapter 25, in verse 27, "It is not good to eat much honey." And I'm sorry to include such a harsh condemnation of Winnie the Pooh and other honey-enjoying characters. "It is not good to eat much honey, nor is it glorious to seek one's own glory." It isn't glorious to seek after your own glory. And here we seem to see some jealousy in Korah. And he kind of makes this point that everyone is holy. So there shouldn't be anyone above anyone else. There shouldn't be positions of leadership. You know, who are you, Moses, to take a position of leadership? And maybe it's a little ironic that he's sort of positioning himself as a leader himself in going against the leadership of Moses and saying that, you know, all the people are holy. Yet we know at times the people of Israel were not acting in ways that were holy, and they did need leadership. Korah was viewing leadership as a form of being exalted, as being above those who were not leaders. And really, real leaders don't exalt themselves. They're focused on service. Leadership isn't always, you know, a hierarchy of worth, but it's just a matter of different roles. It's about different ways that we go about our service. And perhaps there's a lesson here about being willing to submit to leadership that Korah was not willing to do. We may not have prophets today in the way that they had in the Old Testament where God spoke through them. And we are all a royal priesthood, as we'll talk about some later. But we are to submit to authority. The authority of the Scriptures, the men who were inspired to write those. Even in our secular lives, I think it's important that we submit to different types of authority, whether it's in our jobs or with the government. I think that we ought to have a position of humility as Christians in submitting to authority. And if we have animosity in that, I think that sends a very poor message to the people we're around who we're trying to be examples for. In Luke chapter 9 and in chapter 22 of Luke, we have a couple examples of Jesus' disciples kind of having this argument, like, which one among us is the greatest? Which one of us is the most important? And when we read that, it's not a very flattering portrayal for those asking those questions. There's not a lot of humility in that. There's some insecurity. And insecurity can be devastating. It can cause us to maybe sort of reach in ways that are destructive. It can lead us to view ourselves in ways that perhaps we shouldn't. We're taught that as Christians we should be modest and looking to take the most humble place. But unfortunately, with Korah and those that he was leading, we don't see that. In verse 4 of Numbers 16, "When Moses heard it, he fell on his face, and he said to Korah and all his company, 'In the morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and will bring him near to him. The one whom he chooses, he will bring near to him. Do this: take censers, Korah and all his company, put fire in them and put in incense, on them before the Lord tomorrow, and the man whom the Lord chooses shall be the Holy One. You have gone too far, sons of Levi. And Moses said to Korah, Hear now, you sons of Levi. Is it too small a thing for you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do service in the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister to them, and that he has brought you near to him and all your brothers, the sons of Levi, with you? And would you seek the priesthood also? So Moses says to Korah, of the tribe of Levi, Is it not enough for you that you had this role in your service? Was that not enough? You seek more. You have this jealousy, this anger toward himself, toward Moses. And he gathers others up into this rebellion. Those coming to complain about their position were from the tribe of Levi, who had a unique role within Israel. Does that mean that they were worth more, that they were higher? I don't necessarily think so. I don't think that our roles of service are necessarily a hierarchy of worth, even though some people may look at them that way. I liken it to what Paul taught about the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The church is one body made up of different parts. And in verse 21, we see how they work together. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. So Korah and his followers had an honorable service, but apparently it wasn't enough. It wasn't the ones they felt like they may have been entitled to. As members of the Lord's church, we are of one body. We may have different roles within that body, different services that we're able to provide. We shouldn't have the attitude of Korah and looking at someone else with a different role and being jealous or wondering why they're entitled to that role. The eye doesn't look at the hand with jealousy. I have no need of you. We are the body of Christ. And we may do different things, but we are all one. There is no hierarchy of worth. We're all brothers and sisters. And so if one has a different role than you, we should be edifying, we should be happy, we should be glad, we should be doing all we can to support and love our brother or sister in whatever honorable service that they are in. We are all a part of this royal priesthood in 1 Peter 2:9. We have a place in the church and in God's service. So we should ask the same question today. Is being in this priesthood not enough for us? Are we seeking some kind of position, some kind of recognition? Now, we don't have a lot of titles within the church. We have elders, we have deacons, we have people who stand up and preach, even though that's, I don't consider that like an official position. There's no statements in Scripture about, the qualifications for a man who comes up and teaches in a way. Thankfully, maybe I wouldn't be standing in front of you if that was the case. But when we look at those positions, God told us, these men, elders, deacons, they have these qualifications and they fulfill this role. And for us to look at them and think of them as elevated above ourselves, or to look at them with jealousy, who are they to decide things or to lead or to shepherd? God has anointed those qualifications and given that directive for how the church should operate. And those roles have qualifications so that they don't become a stumbling block. Those are to be men who are ready and willing and able to lead in a way that they don't look at it as their own glorification, but as a service to God. And what happens when we rebel against that place? What happens when we try to take a different structure for the church? I mean, we see that in so many places. It's not hard to find other groups of people who profess to follow the Bible, who profess Christianity, who have a lot of different other titles in the structure of what they believe the church is. And in some cases, they even use words that we do find in Scripture, like elder, like deacon, like pastor, and they use them in ways that, again, we don't see in Scripture. That is rebellion against God. He has established His church a certain way, and we need to follow that. And maybe even not just in kind of the titles, if we call them that, the roles that certain people may play in the church, again, elders and deacons, but even maybe in a less formal sense, we need to make sure that as brothers and sisters, we're showing love for one another in those different roles. We're a family, and you know, sometimes in families there's conflict. It's not always bad. Maybe there's healthy conflict sometimes. I think I don't think this is healthy. Aside from the healthy conflicts, if there are children who think, well, that's the favorite. Or, if it's Thanksgiving time and one family is trying to host and the other family thinks they should be hosting, little things like that kind of pop up among family members, where there's maybe a prominence or a certain feeling or notoriety or however you would describe it, and it can become a conflict, and it can tear families apart. We shouldn't have that within our brother and sisterhood. So even aside from maybe where we see a title, as members of the same body, we have different roles, but we're all brothers and sisters, and we should be loving and caring and uplifting one another in whatever those roles may be. It becomes a problem when we look at our place in the church as being about us. I think maybe if we summarize it, that's when it becomes a problem. When we start thinking about our own standing, our own recognition, how much we're appreciated in what we do, I think that's when it becomes a problem. I heard one time somebody say, if you want to be happier, focus on serving other people. If you feel like you're not getting enough attention, start giving more attention to other people. That will fill that need far better than it coming from the outside. So continuing to verse 11 of number 16. So Moses essentially says, was this not enough for you, this position that you have from God to Korah? Then in verse 11, therefore it is against the Lord that you and all your company have gathered together. What is Aaron that you grumble against him? So Korah would learn that rebelling against the Lord's anointed, those speaking on behalf of God, was rebelling against God himself. And I think that's really important to note, because we see so much in the world, again, in under the people who profess Christianity, who profess to follow God, who profess to love Christ. But then when it comes to the Bible, all of a sudden it gets a little gray. And the people who penned the Bible were inspired by God. They are messengers. The Holy Spirit gave us these words. You cannot profess to love God and follow Christ and then ignore the people who speak inspired from Him and on His behalf. The Bible itself is the Word of God. We cannot serve God and not obey the Bible. There are some who look at the Bible as outdated. It's just a product of a certain time, a certain culture, and they almost kind of look at parts of it as kind of being backwards by today's standards. I mean, almost the way that some people look at, people of a different generation and say, oh, they had their own ideas about things, and that's not the way we feel today. And that's the attitude I see people take towards the Scriptures. And there are people who kind of have this idea of, and it's even a term, I don't want to label it onto certain people, but it's seen as like this progressive form of Christianity, that we have to get away from a lot of the things that the Bible does say. And they'll even say that it's not necessary. There was a website that claimed this about the Bible. "I now see it as a major problem for the Christian religion, a stumbling block for most people when it comes to knowing God in a deep, experiential sense. And elsewhere, the early church hijacked the message of Jesus to conform to their own interests." I don't bring that up as just one specific example, but because I think that attitude permeates a lot of people, where the Bible isn't respected as being the inspired, perfect Word of God, but it's something that needs to fit into our own understanding. Again, this was from a video I saw. A person who has, some following on the internet said this regarding the Bible. "It shaped Western culture, so in that sense, I'm willing to concede that there is something mysterious, even divine, about the Bible. But as far as it being delivered from God, or dictated by God, or communicated from God, I just don't find that to be a reasonable argument. Just because the Bible, I believe, from a most literal reading of it, has plenty of contradictions, has plenty of errors when it comes to comparisons to modern science, reason, history, and you wouldn't expect that if the most highest form of inerrancy is true." So again, I know that when we look at what happened to Korah and we see this, we look at that and we say, how in the world could you profess to follow God and look at Moses, one who he has anointed and worked through, and then rebel against Moses if you claim that you're following God? We see that as unreasonable. Yet, we see so many people in the world professing Christianity and just outright denying the message of God. It just doesn't make sense to me. I understand in one sense, because it's a way for people, the adversary to trick people into feeling they have this faithfulness, but they don't have to kind of give up some other things in their life. They can dismiss the parts of the Bible that they may find objectionable. But again, we cannot claim to love God and then not follow His commandments and not follow His anointed, these who have been inspired to write the Scriptures that we have. And then our final point for this morning, we'll pick up in verse 12 of Numbers 16. So we've seen that, Korah had some jealousy, perhaps, some type of rebellion that was in him against the position that he had. And he comes out against God by going up against his anointed. And then finally, in verse 12, Moses calls on a couple who were with him, and they refuse. Verse 12, "Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and they said, 'We will not come up. Is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, that you must also make yourself a prince over us? Moreover, you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up.' And Moses was very angry and said to the Lord, 'Do not respect their offering. I have not taken one donkey from them, and I have not harmed one of them.'" They were acting petulantly, and it seems they were accusing Moses of leading people into suffering, and he was unwilling to give up his position, his authority, even though he had done in their minds, a poor job of leading them. And it brought to mind an episode of The Twilight Zone that I saw a long time ago, and it stuck with me. It just almost gives me chills to think about. Just to summarize it, it was called On Thursday We Leave for Home. And the Twilight Zone was like back in the 60s. So it's a long time ago. And there was this, it was a sci-fi series, and there was this group of colonists on a different planet. And, you know, they were humans from Earth, but they had gone out and they were living on this distant planet. Way off in the year 1991. That's when this was supposedly took place, in 1991. They were colonizing a different planet. And they were kind of stranded there. It was a deserted planet. It was kind of awful. But there was one man who had kind of assumed a position of leadership and importance. And they all looked to him, and he guided them. And he would tell them stories about, because he was older, and he remembered what the Earth was like. And he told them stories about how great Earth was. And he was just kind of seen as this, you know, very prominent person in that society. One day, a ship comes to rescue them, to take them back to Earth. And everyone's really excited. And they were going to leave in a few days. And you could see over the course of those days, the person who was the leader started becoming more and more apprehensive about it and started kind of warning people. And you could tell that he didn't want to give up that position of power. He realized when they got back to Earth, you know, those people who had been so dependent on him, they were talking about how they were going to go their different ways and live this great life on Earth, and he started telling them not to. He said, and it almost like he convinced himself that it was a bad idea for them to leave, because then he knew that that authority he had would be gone. And eventually, he doesn't go. He says, you know, I'm going to stay here. It's too dangerous to leave. You know, the Earth is a bad place. You know, all this stuff. He convinced himself. And then after they lifted off and left, you know, he realized what he'd done. He'd come out and he was, you know, begging for them to come back, but it was too late. And that is what I see the rebellion of Korah. That's kind of what they were accusing Moses of. They were saying, you've taken on this position, you've become so full of yourself, and look what you've led us into. You are just about the power. And of course we know that that's not the way it is. I don't think it's a coincidence that God decided to give authority to Moses, someone who didn't necessarily want it. Just quickly, in Exodus 4, Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and tongue. Then the Lord said to them, Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. But he said, O my Lord, please send somebody else. Please send someone else. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is there not Aaron your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Moses was not like that person in that story. He was not just seeking glorification. He was not leading the people of Israel astray just to keep his power. I read a commentator that seemed to imply that, you know, they were accusing, basically saying, anybody could have led us into this place you have us now. You think you're so special and above us, and look where we're at. They seem to be implying that maybe someone else in leadership would do a better job. As Christians, we don't want to have that attitude. We have people who at times are in positions of leadership, and maybe they make mistakes, but we need to have the humility to be gracious to them, but also love towards them. So we see here that Moses, despite what they were accusing him of, was God's anointed. He was chosen. And we need to recognize that God has chosen people to speak on his behalf. We have it in the scriptures. Every time we read from it, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to us. So we'll end there. And again, we'll have more on Korah this evening. Lord willing. But if today, this morning, you feel the need to come to God, to obey His Word, to follow the commands that He has given us in His Scripture, we ask that you do so. If you need the prayers of the church for any reason, we stand ready to assist you. if you'll come forward as we stand and sing.